This podcast contains strong language and examples of real-life scenarios that some may find disturbing. It is intended for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Jace Kelly, Virtus House Kennel Cast, Part 3 with Ben Mack. We've been having some cracking stories here and just life is getting away from us. So part three, here we go. Welcome back, Ben.
Thanks, mate.
So we've just been talking the breadth of your time with PD Tank, and we're still going to pick it up with him, and we're going to give a couple more stories because there's plenty of them before we go on to dog number two. So yeah, let's go.
Mate, I guess... Well, we're going back to talking about tracking in that criminal evidence space, as far as track starting and being able to find an offender on the other end or track back to a house that gave the intel for a search warrant, finding articles on the way. But I guess one other job that really sticks out, and it wasn't just me, it was a camaraderie of two other dog handlers, and for that matter, a lot of other police on a cordon, was an armed robbery one night on the south side of Brizzy where two offenders probably hadn't planned it as well as they intended. Got startled or certainly had a run-in with the occupants of the hotel, the pub in the middle of it. And you imagine a few gentlemen who sit at the big long table every night and had some extra courage. Anyway, still succeeded. So they took off a short distance into a suburb. And whether it was to change their appearance or realise that we were probably closer than they thought they were or they could hear sirens coming, I don't know. But they dropped both the weapons. I just remember telling the story now. They're both gurney ones, made to look like shotguns, believe it or not. Okay. They cut the finger guard off it, but it had the pump on the end, so to speak, and cut the hose. But anyway, I remember tracking the first part of the track, a few backyards, through houses, some contamination. It was a part of Brisbane where there's a lot of greyhound breeders living at the time. So they had some, again, working dogs in the different element, kenneled too. But the noise, you imagine... heap of greyhounds seeing a whole shepherd and a non-castrated shepherd coming through. Yeah, they can smell miles away. They're all going troppo.
Yep.
Mix that in as well. And they were still obviously barking from when the offenders had run through their backyards as well. People coming in there with torches, starting to have a look around. Lucky for me, I guess. Well, not lucky. It was obviously as a product of the training. Managed to find where both offenders realised it was going to go in pear-shaped pretty quickly. They ditched all their clothing except their underwear. So yep. Ditched all that. The two fake shotties. And the cash from the job. So there's a bag full of cash there. So for me then, I was having to stand point guard on that until police could come and seize that evidence.
Sure.
Mate, at that exact same time, one of those freak Sunday afternoons in Brisbane, it rained. When I say rain, it rained buckets full. It poured for about half an hour straight. I remember having to go and ditch my handheld radio because it had got full of water. It wasn't working anymore. And source another one off another police officer. Most of the doggies obviously wear, earpieces to say you got your radio comms, but outsiders can't hear. It's part of trying to sneak around.
Yep.
Again, being 6'7", 130 kilo, I needed every bit of assistance I could get to sneak around. Did that, and it poured. And again, so for me, I was able to call on two other handlers to come and give me a hand, both good mates of mine still. And, explain, hey, this is it. It's poured. I don't know where the track's gone from here. Managed to, through some of the car loudspeakers and what, this is pre-pole air days, to get everyone to go back inside their houses with the assistance of other uniformed police to cordon off. And it was just the design. It was beside a motorway, had a creek on another side, train line on another. It was a big box. So instead of, your traditional evidence track where you had a starting point to start from, we had a starting point, but it had been washed out.
Yeah.
So we had to go back to plan B, which was to start a systematic search of multiple dogs searching multiple yards but paralleling each other. Mate, I guess that sticks in my memory. It was one of those jobs where, the general duty staff who had played as much of a role by being on that cordon, by being our eyes and ears, making sure that, a bit like tennis, the old Atari tennis, that they bounce off the cordon. There were sightings on the cordon.
Bit of pong. Back
in. Yeah, basically. and our success was always as much based on the assistance of police on cordons. 100% it is. So for us, in the teeming rain, still pushing on and doing this with some assistance as good incident managers in that part. I did exactly that. And mate, it took us, I think, about 2.5-3 hours. By the end of it, we were all saturated, all exhausted. But we did. We picked them off one by one.
Awesome.
Having said that. It was just one of those jobs that you'll walk away and go, you know what? Those guys would have got away with that crime any other day of the week. The forensic evidence had been washed out by the rain. was one of those pubs where the CCTV either wasn't working or wasn't as good as it could have been. They'd arrived in a stolen car that, again, had no, you know, traces or links back to it through, you know, wearing gloves, etc. If we hadn't pushed on that night and found those two, they would have got away with it. And yep. Who knows what they would have done next. So I guess things like that always stuck out. But again, it wasn't that traditional tracking. It was a communication between the three of us going yard to yard, you know, through a suburb that probably had, you know, a good 150, 200 houses, and just working our way through doing exactly that. So again, negative searching. Yeah. And then I can remember the first offender, my dog had a massive head snap. It was a part of Brisbane that had been underwater, again, in the 2011 floods. So it was an area that was sort of through a lot of rebuild, a lot of, you know, pallets of timber lying around, pallets of bricks.
Okay.
It was a suburb where, due to the floodplain, obviously the houses all being rebuilt up quite higher. And I remember the dog, again, just constantly casting, searching, and I was doing one street. So I had the bitumen to do, I had both footpaths to do, and the front half of each yard to do, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And then the handle behind, well, actually the whole yard. So we'll go yard by yard.
Yeah, yeah.
Having to push in the gates, push people to put their dogs away, searching. Staff now that poly make a lot easier, and having that almighty body language snap and then finding a naked guy apart from his undies now shivering cold, basically willing to give up under a house, that was the first one. And then the enthusiasm that the dogs are like, and you could hear when Tank found that one, as he normally did, out of excitement, he started barking and yelling back at the offender too. And then I could hear the other two police dogs out in the open barking as well, like, bastard, you found him first. And the competition amongst dogs, I'm sure you guys saw the same thing.
Absolutely.
The stadium effect that the dogs would have on watching other dogs have success was always awesome. But, mate, that was one job that stuck out. Mate, I guess in that training part, speaking of multiple dogs, we started exploring multiple dogs on jobs together. I'm talking off lead. So we're not talking, you know, fanning multiple dogs for crowd control. Mm. We started exploring, and management recognised it, and there was a tweak in our use of force. Legislation and model, and well, not legislation per se, but in their model, as far as that there was the odd job where there'd be more than one offender in a building.
Yep.
So as we started to explore law enforcement wise, our active armed offender approaches and training, a scenario where, again, in the urgency of it, we didn't always have the ability to wait for some of the emergency response teams with more kit and capacity to turn up.
Yep.
To be able to throw two dogs into, say, a school or a house to search together. You know, traditional thinking would be you'd put two entire male shepherds in a room together, they're going to destroy each other.
Mm.
And they didn't. Obviously, we worked on introducing the dogs to both biting the same offender through some bite suit work with some, they not been given away methodology per se, but introducing them to being comfortable working together.
Sure.
To the point where we could set up video cameras. You know, Dan, we had an institution we were able to use was a university that's since been knocked down.
Okay.
So you imagine a hallway with half a dozen lecture rooms off either side, so you had multiple hides. Again, dogs are taught on course to search buildings, so they're searching door jams, vents, under doors, using their nose, and that's a game that the dogs always take a bit to get their head around.
Yep.
So then to watch two shepherds running in the hallway, literally ploughing into each other, and it's out of no aggression whatsoever, just a competition of, I'm going to find him. And you can see it on their face. We're watching the video afterwards, and we'd set up the video on the door and another one on the hallway where the agitator was hiding. And to see these dogs that we know are crackers and do apprehend extremely well to play with each other in this exciting game, watching the body language, the tails wagging the whole time. But the funny thing is, mate, you watch the video and you'll see the first dog find the offender and then do what they do, go back into a sit and a bark type of thing with a bit of bouncing around. I found him. The devastation you see on the other dog's face when he's somewhere else in the building with bugger. And then for them to come flying back, and then you've got both dogs there again rubbing up against each other, barking at that door. And yet, agitator reward, door flies open, take one dog on one arm, one dog on the other, which takes some, you know, a little bit of extra skills.
Yeah,
in agitator.
Definitely.
But to take two shepherds that previously might, and they might every day of the week, on the other side of a fence or in the same car through the cage in the middle, want to destroy each other,
yeah,
you know, verbally with yelling at each other and screaming and carrying on. But that was a training element that we definitely started exploring in the AR space and worked really well.
Yeah. But did you use it operationally at all?
Never got the chance to.
Yeah, okay.
Got the chance to. I guess it was always one of those things we... Again, there'd be a job on, explain to an incident commander, hey, this is possible, but yeah, in the I was gonna say rules of engagement with what we do in relation to our national policing guidelines, no.
Yeah.
And I'm out of the loop since things have evolved in the emergency response space too, as to what the emergency response team capability would be in that space. But it was definitely, but if nothing else, it was watching the dogs have fun doing it. It was just, again, as a dog trainer and dog lover, watching them do this new game, this new activity. There's nothing to do with aggression or anything else, but they were people as much as, you know, we are, and their personality types. The deflation you see on the dog's face, who didn't find the hide first, but then get that the next time And it was almost like the look at each other as if to say, cop that, you know, like, it was great. And then when you throw a third dog in the mix and the same thing, you know, multiple dogs doing multiple searches together. But all those, you know, preconceived ideas of then trying to destroy each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, exception to the rule is a couple of dogs that didn't get the game and got distracted and we didn't use them for that. And you'd know that then you couldn't use them operationally for that. But by and large, if they're introduced right and in that space, yeah, they loved it. And then as a handler, I got to love it. And, yeah, and again, being able to come in behind them, do exercises with the response team, shields, and whatnot, and then the dogs loved it. You know, it was a blast working in that space.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. So while we're on that kind of evolved training, the CERT, your tactical police, did you get to work with them with PD Tank at all, like on cordons or anything like that, or not?
Only through a BAU job.
Okay.
I would never profess or even come close to indicating I'd you know, train as a tactical handler like that at all.
Yeah.
Being a surveillance operator before I got in the doggies, had you know, done other bits and pieces, but no, no illusions that I'd been anything remotely close to that, no.
Yeah.
Had an understanding of bits and pieces, had assisted on a couple of things, but it was only because I was already there as a BAU response in the first place. So, mate, yeah, I'd only shooting in the dark to try and talk on that topic.
Yeah, yeah. But back in the day, they were using, obviously now they've got their own specialised dogs, but back in the day they were using Dog Squad, weren't they?
Yeah, from time to time, and I guess it was luck of the draw who was on for that night for that job.
Okay.
There were elements of handlers who went over and trained with them and then would rotate through different periods. But
okay.
In my time, it was very much the fact that there were two operators there who cross-trained as dog handlers.
Yeah, right, okay.
And then, at times through leave or injury or whatever else, there was one or two of the gang that would give them assistance from time to time, but
yeah.
I wasn't one of those guys.
Yeah, okay. All right, so moving along, PD Tank, anything else you want to talk about?
Because he's on that
obviously bucket, a machine, so.
Mate, and he does, and on that back end, I guess, you know, you think about, mate, you would have been through it numerous times too. Probably more so the first dog too, you know, like I remember the night I came home, I used to take Tank into work for me, the odd training shift with Kadar. You know, give the old man a bite, let him a bit of a run around, say hello to the team. You know, and he'd run around all the other handlers and you know, he was in that mode. He was, this is great. I don't have to do the hard stuff anymore. Just get to run around to the fun stuff.
Yep.
But near my house, there's a particular part of Parkland. I always take the dogs for a quick run on the way home, let them do their thing and then try and find out the plastic bag and put it in the bin. But he'd wander off and the new fella, Kadar, would come running back and hit the back of the van. He always hit the back of the van in the back of the cage 1,000 miles an hour, hit the back end and spin back around.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't heard the old fella come back yet. And I'd obviously went and found a tree myself on the way home. So called out to him, couldn't see him. I thought, gee, that's a bit odd. Anyway, I walked around the park, remember finding him. He's lying down, you know, big smile and face on him. Called him and, we'd been there. He wasn't getting up. His back legs, I said, that was the night. So I remember taking him home. Passed the Golden Arches for a Big Mac for him, large fries, so I had the Coke. Took him home, gave him that one. But again, you know, that was probably, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning type of thing. I was still asleep in the morning. My wife took the kids to school and daycare at that stage and came back home. And I remember coming downstairs and having to say to her, I've just made an appointment with the vet later on today. I'd gone through that together, was the solace on that one. But
sure.
Mate, I won't forget that morning. You know, those who hooked up to me on social media and those who knew the dog at the time knew how much of a legend that little pocket dynamo was at his moments. But it's a sad memory, I guess, but it's one that's tucked away that dog will never know how much he meant to me and like to think I was the same for him. But photos up on the wall. My wife had a fantastic canvas print done up of him that hangs up on the wall, you know, with his working dog medal from the Working Dog Association.
Yep.
It's some people think it's a bit different, but I've never really been in that type of thing, but mate, yeah, there's an urn up on the shelf when you come in the front door of our place, and that's where his ashes are, and that's where they'll stay until I change my mind and do something else. But the kids know that's where Tank's at.
Yeah.
Skipping ahead a little bit here, but Kadar's right beside him now too. So
yeah.
That was just how we did our thing then. But that that dog will always have, you know, I could tell 1,001 funny stories and frustrating stories. Love the guy to death, you know, like but I can remember on one dog track one night, again, it was just I don't want to type your third episode with the same dog type of thing, but I remember one of the other handlers in Brisbane there was running behind me on a track because we knew it was multiple, and we're talking kids, so we're trying to be super careful, make sure there was no chance of a contact.
Yep.
Found the first two, and he was towards the back end of his career. He was that enjoyable to track behind. Halfway through this dog track, I said to the other handler, do you want to have a go? And he's, what? You don't do that. You don't handle that. No, mate, jump on. He's not going to care. He'll look every shot. He won't care. He just wants to find him. But you've got to be careful towards the back end.
Yep.
Oh, he did. Swapped over. He caught the next one. And it was like a bit of a giggle.
Awesome.
And you caught the other offender. So, But he's yeah, always had that special place.
Yeah.
Mate, probably jumping onto what you want to talk about. Yokata, mate, different personality altogether. Not in a negative way. Like, it was not he was softer, sookier, but yeah, my kids grew up with him better, I guess. So in that, that personal aspect, he was that. It really did them a downer when that decision was made with him. Mate, he probably tracked better, I guess, because I had him as a pup. I'd sort of managed to put the imprinting in, and had a lot to do with that.
Yep.
Just in his personality space, mate, he had minimal defensive drive. He still had a lot of prey drive, but he didn't thrive in the capture of the offender. He didn't thrive in he loved his bite work. He'd jump on the arm or jump on the suit, and he'd have a good old howl. He's one of those dogs who used to howl down through the nose when he was on, because he knew the leave was coming up next, or the out was coming up next, and that was the part he didn't like.
Yep.
I didn't have to correct him. He knew when to hop off, but he would let you know, can I just stay on a bit longer? I'm really enjoying this. He was a throbber, like on the arm. Yep. He pulsed. He was good for you'd hold him for a rebite, and he'd jam back in harder again. He'd punch in, push in on the bite. Again, for a dog that lost three of his canines quite young, mate, we'd finish some training, and you could see he had bits missing off his tongue and stuff like that. But he did care. He just loved it.
Yeah.
But that, and then operationally, he wasn't a land shark. He would track and hunt really, really well, but when he was on, he wasn't a thrasher. And I know we've spoken about this before, about the difference between law enforcement and military handling.
Yeah.
And listening to your Foreign Stone podcast there with how the regiment guys need a dog that hits the arm that's holding the weapon, and there's reasons for that, and I completely appreciate that. It's not that we didn't train for that. I guess it was just, you do things like when you're doing a building search and it's a hide under a bed or a hide behind an industrial bin or something like that. If the leg's the first thing they can hold and peg root them out, that's what we needed, so then other police would cover us. And I appreciate apples and oranges compared to guys over there. And again, that was one of our debates, way back when we first started, we crossed training paths. The pig root was always something I enjoyed, but I needed operationally. But I saw the merit in the other one too, absolutely. Now, mate, Kato was, love working with him. He's a bigger shepherd than Tank was. By the back end of his career, he had a couple of health problems. His teeth are definitely worn down, so it was a bit of a bone structure thing or whatnot. But, mate, he was getting on 8 years old, so he was on the road for 6 years, as opposed to Tank was a good 8.5, 9 years on the road.
Yep.
Mate, I knew I was at a crossroads then with him that realistically I was going to be looking to – he was going to work till he's 10, like Tank did. I knew that he was going to – and I didn't expect him to either.
Yeah.
Had a couple of skin issues too, some skin bits and peas that we sort of went through the specialist vets with trying to sort out, and weren't really quite getting there. And then, mate, at the same time, I had a crossroads, I guess, my personal life. My dad had passed away. I'd sort of – yeah, as you do, you lose your best mate in that space and trying to work that one out. I had jumped out of the comfort zone and jumped in a couple of different spots for leaving up a rank as a senior sergeant in a couple of different areas that were completely right away from the dog squad.
Okay.
One in the leadership space, running a station, and the other one not so much, more of a support officer to one of the bosses. Enjoyed them both. Enjoyed sleeping properly. Enjoyed not being on call.
Yeah.
Mate, I guess some guilt was, well, definitely guilt was starting to kick in that I was not on call and not home when my kids are that age where my son was really getting into his rugby, my daughter's really getting into a netball, I'd missing birthday parties, or if I was there, I was asleep, and straight out, I was being cranky too. I knew that I had to change things for me. I'd had two cracking dogs, I had a ball working both of them, I need to find something else to do.
Yeah.
Mate, we've been on holidays, and one of the other handlers has been looking after Kadar for me, and great guy, great job with him and stuff. I knew the dog better than I, as well as I did. He loved when we pull up this guy's house. He knew where it was. He knew he's off to have a fat time and swim in his pool and all sorts of stuff. He didn't get to do it at my place. Picked him up after he'd been on holidays, and mate, on the way home in the car, he wasn't quite right. It just, something wasn't quite sitting there. I was in the midst of being told I'd been promoted and got this other job. So I'd already negotiated with the dog squad management that if I had been promoted this other job to run a station, that the dog's going to be retired and come home with us,
okay.
Which was a plus for us. It was good for the organisation too, like the dog squad management. They knew the dog's going to go caring home and kick back. Was in two minds of sharing him with another family who was sort of looking for the early stages of a dog and whatnot in the backyard. Another police family, and sort of, because he was that type of personality, he would blend in anywhere. Anyway, very early stages of that. And mate, he had a fit, unfortunately, in the car on the way home. I remember just catching the back end of it, wasn't really sure what had quite happened, where he'd fallen over in the back of my ute. Home, in the kennel, doing his usual thing, racing around, saying good day to the crew, the family, doing his thing, finding every corner in the backyard to make sure he'd squirted all over those, re-establishing himself. Back into his kennel, because I still had the kip hole kennel at home at that stage. Mate, I was, again, we just come back from being away for 3 weeks, so doing a bit of gardening and mowing and getting the place back on deck. and then there's a mighty thump in the kennel, and it was him falling aside, having what was definitely then what I saw was a fit.
Yeah.
So I remember going to grab my wife and let her know, and in disbelief from her saying to me, "Nah, you can't be. I'll come to the backyard and have a look myself." And obviously something had clicked. He'd come around the backyard and had that look at both of us like he had no idea who we were.
Right.
Wasn't aggressive. There was no narking or snarling. He just had that pause that was not him, and all three of us looked at each other and thought, nah, something's not right. 20 seconds later, tail's wagging. We're back on. We're back to normal. So I'm thinking, okay, it's a Sunday, so I'm going to make an appointment for the vet first thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Again, really fortunate that through family connection, the local vet was my dad's old practice that he'd since gotten out of long before that. But vets at the practice were other mums from my daughter's school and things like that. So I had a really, really lucky with their local vet and make an appointment. And then the next one happened again. And I was, I'm going down today. We're going to sort this out now for the poor bugger. So my was put down. The most humane thing I can think of do that afternoon for a dog that was about to, had pretty much retired anyway.
Yes.
At that age bracket, and it's what he deserved. So I wasn't interested in postmortems to find out. Curiosity wasn't mine. It was the fact that he had a cracking life, a cracking working life, a dummy just as well. Probably haven't told as many stories about Kato as Tank. Not that I didn't love the animal every bit as much as both of them together.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Tank was more that first impression. Mate, Kato, again, better tracking, more success with him. When I was working west of Brizzy, we were covering a lot more territory, so a lot more semi-rural properties and things like that. But one of the best ones I remember was tracking an offender. I was dead set a four-hour track. Been called out midday, stinking hot summer. And again, almost a leapfrog track. You know, you'd get to the next house and just running wild through the throat. It was one of those tracks we started, and he was head high straight away. I'm thinking, nah, this guy's got a half-hour head start. It can't be head high. But it was, because he'd been heading in front of us the whole time. So the police cordon had worked. He'd gone to ground really early.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere for him to go, because the road was the only way out. We're talking, 100-acre properties. And he's off. And mate, again, at 120 plus and 6'7", running after 4 hours sleep in the middle of January was not my idea of a night shift when I was supposed to be sleeping. Mate, that went all afternoon. It Polly had ducked out, gave us a hand out to go back and refuel. That's how long that one took.
Jesus.
But for the dog to be that determined to keep going, well, we stopped at people's properties and got a drink on the way. Both of us did. Quick can of Coke, and he's into their dog's water, and we're off again.
Yeah, right.
Mate, to get the guy then wandering, exhausted himself 4 hours later, and he was someone we needed to get. He was someone who's wanted for quite a few bits and pieces from a stolen car that he'd crashed on the back of that. Mate, things like that really, for me. Yeah, he didn't have as much of a personality. He wasn't as outgoing, I guess. He's much more relaxed kind of dog, which was a lot easier to train.
Yeah.
I probably definitely made a lot less mistakes the second time around. But yep. He did well. And mate, in that litter, three of his brothers worked as well.
Okay.
One was the dog I was referring to earlier who was stabbed on a track in Brisbane. Yes. He had another brother working up North Queensland, another one working on the Darling Downs.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah, the dogs were all known. They were a litter that because they were working. I remember for a while there, the keepers celebrated their birthdays annually on Facebook together in a different
place
growing up, and they'd done that when they were pups too. So I guess it was good for the public to see them grow up and grow through.
Yeah.
One thing that really threw me on that, and I really do appreciate our bosses on our end at that time, did a media release at the time about Kadar passing away. I mean, he'd been retired technically for a month or two. Our management didn't need to do that. I didn't ask for it.
Yeah.
But the state coordinator at the time leaked it to a boss who'd just taken over the commander of the dog squad, so to speak, a superintendent, and things got pushed around a bit. And my phone started ringing off the hook the next weekday.
Yeah, right.
Everyone picked it up. You know, if you search KPS PD Kadar on Google, mate, what blew me away was the comments. You know, like the volume of comments on without naming the different channels, media outlets, the comments on their Facebook post, the comments on the Kipol Facebook post. It made my family feel a lot better seeing how much appreciation the public's got for the
–
I'm not talking Kato, the KPS dogs, and the KPS too, for that matter. It was a booster in that space too. So,
yep.
My day, that was – he passed away, which sort of – it just happened to line up with a career change for me, I guess. Went on to his thing.
So your transition from your first dog, obviously PD Tank, who was quite momentous in your working career, to Kato – like, how did that – because I've seen lots of handlers struggle going to their second dog because it's not their first dog. It's just not.
Mate, I guess – not that I struggled. I was cognizant of it. I knew when I was kissed on the proverbial with the first dog, the breeding, the full package, everything that was him, I knew there was a risk I wasn't going to get the job same job satisfaction out of working the second dog.
Yeah.
But hand on heart, I guess, as much as I love that animal to death, in terms of police dog handling, if you're going to, you know, draw a bar graph, yeah, the excitement and the enjoyment of working K-Day was a little bit less.
Yeah.
But less because he was less of a challenge, not because he was less of a good police dog. He never bit me. He never gnawed my leg. He never gnawed my arm. Any bites I had when I was working him was from agitating other people's dogs.
Yeah.
He certainly nipped a couple of other agitators, just, again, our error and zigging instead of zagging at the wrong time.
Yeah.
You know, different things. You know, he loved backbiting on the suit. You know, he would run around and gnarly on the shoulder rather than take a forearm.
Which, yeah, right.
You know, you try and train out because it wasn't always the desired trait. But, mate, on a couple of runaway bites with good tall crooks through paddocks, the backbite was,
yeah,
was
what good. Was needed.
Yeah. As opposed to, and we've all seen it, some dogs who come very arm-orientated and run around in front, and if a fender holds their arms up, I've seen, you know, in training, and not operationally per se, but certainly heard about where dogs will do laps around an offender because they can't see what they're trying to lock onto. Mate, again, he was the full package. He just... You know, he didn't bring me that same satisfaction. And I guess, and I was saying it before we kicked off today, I guess my other thing I wanted to do if I'd hung around, not a bad way to put it, if I had stayed in the dog squad, and I loved every minute of it, and it was only because of it was as much a family choice as it was anything else to move on.
Yeah.
Mate, same thing, the third dog syndrome. I'd had two really good dogs. I didn't want to go out on the third dog. You know, the risk, and that's me not taking a risk. But by the same token, mate, the QPS at that stage were looking at Mals and Dutchies.
Yep.
And I guess, yeah, having worked at, you know, some V8 Commodores, I wouldn't mind jumping in a Ferrari and see what that was like from in that training challenge space.
Yep.
That's my only regret, I suppose I'll put it that way. But, you know, I'm on to doing other things and other challenges in that space and more and moving back in the human side rather than the dog training side. I'm enjoying training new constables when they come out of the academy. I'm enjoying seeing them develop operationally. But... not a struggle. It was different. But I was ready for it. I like to believe I was ready for it. I'd prepared myself for it. I saw things happen with him on course. I just knew he wasn't going to be what Tank was when it was business time.
Yeah.
I knew in those high-risk scenarios where we were both on, we were both hands-on and doing stuff, that I had to go a bit harder or I had to get a bit quicker. And I guess I picked up on things then too. I changed how I did things at the end operationally. I probably moved more into using my mouth a lot more and calling out on offenders to give up and waiting them out. Not because I knew he wouldn't do it, our review of apprehensions and things like that was not political, but we're trying to get smarter and attract less criticism of how we did things. At the same time, obviously, there was, and not because we're doing things wrong beforehand by any means of imagination, but things have changed. You know, we now had a set of eyes at 3,000 feet on everything we did. So, and again, a picture doesn't always paint everything, but we also had, you know, body-worn cameras for the first time in a long time.
Yep.
Which was, and the assistant commissioner at the time who bought them a little bit early for us because they weren't a priority, it wasn't to catch us out. He actually, his passion at that stage was to try and reduce some of the volume of Crown law cases where offenders were suing the Crown for ex gratia payments on injuries and things like that. So he wanted to be able to articulate and show in what ultimately civil court cases that handlers were trying their best to get people to surrender. So while we're shelling out... Why was the government shelling out money for an injury for them doing the wrong thing, I guess? And in that civil space is always a bit harder, as opposed to the criminal space and your evidentiary proof. Not that it changed habits. It just, I just found with him, I knew I had to be smarter. I had to be smarter. I had to use my mouth more.
Yep.
It wasn't as much of a shield to save me in a rainy day if it really got hard and I had a good stink on my hands.
Yep.
I just knew what his limitations were. So I guess in that, as a team, I knew... The ratio changed, I guess, between what I could rely on the dog to do and what I had to do. And again, like I said, lucky for me, I'm in no way, shape or form a jet of a fighter or anything like that at all. But at my height and my size, I've got the ability to have the ability, police work wise, by myself to dominate an offender a bit quicker, I guess, through that. So not because I'm a cage or anything like that at all. Just if nothing else, you line them. Had the ability to control. And obviously at the same time, I've been one of our operational skills instructors, police officers, trainers as part-time instructors. I've been one of the organisation senior firearms and operational skill instructors for the better part of 18 years. So I guess you found that space where you knew your hand skills, you knew your vocal skills, outsmart an offender. And if it ever was in that space, it was a concern that whether you called on another doggy or another general duties officer to come give you a hand, you could do things that sort of led more into avoiding having to deploy the dog.
Yep.
Not that I ever doubted him. It was just that ratio you had to find the balance on.
I get it, mate. I get it.
I'm not bagging the dog.
No.
But he did. I definitely found after that time, I'd like, it wasn't a negative experience, but I I guess part of it was that. Part A was I was concerned if dog number three wasn't what the other two had done, yeah. I wasn't going to enjoy it. And there was no way I wanted to be someone in a role that I wasn't enjoying give 110% to, because yep. I'd done that with the last two. And that meant as much to me reputation-wise, to my wife, to my kids, to my colleagues, that I wanted to be someone who gave it all. And if I had a substandard for me, if I had for me a substandard dog that wasn't giving me what I was looking for,
yep.
I didn't want to be in that position. But that says I'm lacking a bit of courage and risk-taking at the same time. By the same token, I guess I would love to have got my hands on a new package or try something different. Mate, not our breeding and the shepherds, especially when I left, was still up there. You know,
yeah.
we were swapping bloodlines, and I know there's arrangements in place now that wasn't there when I was there per se. We were swapping bloodlines a lot more with other law enforcement agency, corrections, with the military as well, and with NZ.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more sharing in that space, and I know there's been some chat with some of our breeding stakeholders as well,
yep.
in the private sector. To get that right, which only benefits everybody.
Absolutely.
So I guess there was other shepherd products coming through that I guess I've missed the opportunity to work, but mate, at 47 this year. I was going to say 57 then. 47, that's
maybe
a terrible
feel 57.
I am at the five number. Yeah. At 47 this year, mate, you do. You know, I'm telling you, you don't know. Your knees and your ankles start to feel it personally. And again,
oh, yeah.
I don't want to be someone that's slowing down, going over a fence, or slowing down, diving into a car to pull someone out, or that. My fingers, like yours, my knuckles are like rugby union players. My wrists are always sore, elbows,
yep.
knees, ankles. Having developed another role that I enjoyed as much for a different reason, I was more than happy to step away and go, you know what, I had a fat time. I had two cracking dogs. I loved every minute of those 15 years doing that.
Yep.
I'd like to believe that everyone who was around in that first response space when I was doing it, colleagues within the squad and outside the squad, remember Ben Mack and Tank, or Ben Mack and Kadar, my call sign on the radio at the time, knew I was coming, like they do with the other handlers who are there now.
Yep.
That and if that reputation was tucked away in their memory too, mate, I've kicked that goal. That's I can look back and say it was awesome. But the only thing I love doing these days is going back to the annual dog handler dinners and listen to all the new stories, listen to all the new warriors, meeting the new handlers that are there.
Yeah, yeah.
There's still a lot of old familiar faces around. But yeah, certainly with last year's anniversary, catching up with one of the original dog handlers that QPS ever had that I hadn't met before, still keeping our respect for Norm Watt and his family, who obviously join us every year as well. Being able to still return to functions like that is just as important, I guess, too. But no matter, I'll always look back fondly on my time in the doggies, both in the Brisbane Dog Squad and outside, catching up with all the staff from around the state, ideas and whatnot. And I love still seeing their success kicking on. And what that looks like and hearing those new stories. So, and mate, if there's advances, and you've heard one I haven't heard, just because moving in different circles now within the organisation.
Yeah.
I love hearing that. I love hearing the fact that things are still progressing. And I've got no doubt that there are other states and territories in Australia and NZ and around the world are doing the same. You know, like, I must admit, I was saying it before, I've never really been a podcast guy just because I'm that busy, I guess, but now I'm driving half an hour, 40 minutes to work each way, and I'm not in a work car with a radio blaring in my ear listening for that next job.
Yep.
The radio station Brizzy aren't necessarily always entertaining either, so I'm trying to get through podcasts. Again, as part of my little resilience shield, trying to find some different things to listen to. Mate, we'll listen to some of the American working dog radios, obviously yours and then the three that you've interviewed and other off-spins and stuff like that.
Yep.
Yeah, I realise how much I do miss it. You hear about some of the skill sets and advances and things like that, and some setbacks. Well, not setbacks, that's probably how I'm going to put it. Changes in legislation, especially here locally, with what training kit you can and can't use anymore.
Mm.
Undoubtedly used by the wrong people in the wrong scenarios has led to decisions to get made, but a piece of kit that I still, anyway, another debate for another time.
Indeed.
But yeah, I miss it. I do miss it. My knees don't. But I love the fact that I'm back working Monday to Friday, you know, day shifts to do the dad stuff I wasn't doing previously.
Yep.
But, mate, I'd give my left leg to be 30 again.
Yeah. All right. So you just answered about four of the questions I had. So that's
perfect.
If
you told me I'm 30 again, kicking off a tank,
yeah,
1 year into his working life, mate, I'd, you know, leave the personal side out of the fact my kids wouldn't have been born yet.
Yeah.
No, mate, my memories are, I'm smiling sitting here talking to you. Like, I'd,
yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure if there's any ex-QPOL bosses who are around in the duty officer space and whatnot at the time and other handlers, they all remember Tank quite well. Maybe not Kadar quite so much, but that was more because I was working out of Brizzy. But no, Tank was it. I actually remember one story. I was on the way home from work one morning, and if this fella's listening, and I'm going to make sure he's going to listen because I'll send the link after this. One of our duty officers got on the radio, being a smart bugger, and jumped on and said, because the Brisbane guys had knocked off. It was like 4:30 in the morning. I just had me running late getting home because of a job I'd done at Ipswich.
Yep.
And one of the comms operators in town, because our radios are tracked digitally, saw me, I was on the way home. He rang me up and said, mate, can you please go and do this job on the way home? We can't get a hold of anyone in Brisbane. They've knocked off. And I went, mate, I'm exhausted. I want to go home. And he's done a stolen car. Four have run from it. The locals have nabbed the first one. There's three left running around the suburbs. It's getting daylight pretty quick. Can you ever go? Yeah, righto. And so it's been announced on the radio, an Ipswich handler's coming. So this duty officer, been a smart bugger, has jumped on, and he's announced that, in a smart ass voice, because we are mates and he does stem me up a bit, announced Cockley on the radio, Queensland's best dog handler was coming to this job, just being smart about it. And that only made me think, bug you, I'm going to give this one a red hot crack. Mate, again, an hour and a half later, all three are in custody with some help. I didn't do it by myself, but with all three of them. And things that'll carry away. And I had a crack at him about 6 months ago. He's retired now. Had a crack at him about that one. And he had a chuckle. He said, I meant it. And I'm like, but that's never been me. Like, I've always enjoyed being modest. And I don't exactly blend in with the crowd, but I do my best to just kick back and do my thing. But no, things like that. If I bought that little bit of confidence to first response police at least a few jobs in my time, knowing that, Benny Mac's coming with that dog, on that, they knew my call sign. And they knew that I was going to go in there, give everything I got. And then they do. And I, because it's what I did when I was the first in the job. There's nothing better than hearing that radio call come on with that call sign. And you can hear the dog bark in the background. You hear the guys announce, we've got one in custody, or we need assistance, we've got two in custody. Or, from time to time, hey, we need an ambulance at this location, the offender's been bitten. The cheering that can go on at some stage at different jobs for the right offenders for the right reasons does bring confidence to the frontline officers. And if I bought some of that, mate, that's me. That's my thing to look back on and go, those 15 years, I loved it.
Yeah, good on you. That's awesome. All right, so you've touched on it a number of times, but before we wrap up, obviously gone in another direction now. You're in a leadership position. Where to from here?
Mate, good question. I guess, the way legislation sits with us, we have to work till we're 60. Can't go a day earlier either. But I guess the next 13 years, if I can... We all have, mate. For different reasons, you've left your previous employment for the same reason. There's good bosses and not so good bosses, I guess.
Indeed.
If I can be a better boss than the ones who have not done the righty by me, not in terms of them doing the wrong thing, but by not having the leadership characteristics and trying to find that blend between being a leader and a manager, I guess, that's my goal now, mate. I'm very fortunate to lead 54, 55 staff at a large-ish station outside of Brisbane. We're very committed, very dedicated, doing that job day in, day out. A lot of it rotates around some hot topics at the moment, like domestic violence, youth crime, giving it their all. And to watch, people of varying age groups between the early 20s straight at the academy. We've still got people in the 30s and 40s going through the academy now, policing as a second career. To help them get their head around legislation, get their head around policy, make the odd boo-boo and bounce back, go through giving evidence in court for the first time, sitting through a trial for the first time, make a mistake and learning from it, applying for a specialist area, moving on to do that. If that's my leadership passion at the moment, is that. But mixing shift work, mixing all that with getting through and coming up with their own sort of system, I guess, that we mentioned before, but that, in that wellbeing space, helping them find their formula, their layers of what to do to help them get through life every day and still be that person they need to be at home. And I guess that's one of my messages my staff always take home from me is family has to come first. It doesn't matter if you're just dating someone or if you're living with someone not married yet, young kids, old kids, kids or adults, you can't be who you need to be at work if you've got that negativity in the back of your head. You've got to find a reset when you come in the door. And if it's not for your safety, it's for the safety of the officer you're working with. And I guess trying to help, trying to help them find their way through that and understand the bigger picture of some of the strategies that we do run, why we do what we do. We're not just responding to stuff. How important prevention and disruption is in what we're doing, how important diverting youth from doing dumb stuff is.
Yep.
Whilst relying on all the tools in our toolbox to get it done, that's a mentor phase I can do for those my staff right now. That's me, but ultimately down the track, I'd like to think of keep developing, keep studying. I went back to having not done uni since I was 21. I went back a couple of years ago and did a master's. If you told me I was going to do a master's ever in my life and complete it without stopping from going away, I would have told you you're kidding yourself. And I got a lot out of it. Without giving a plug to the organisation, I knocked over a master's in leadership and management. And I actually thoroughly enjoyed it. A couple of dry academic subjects in there. But definitely enjoyed starting at a master's level where you're allowed to have an opinion. You don't have to quote everyone else's. You're allowed to have your own and talk to that. And compare that back to, my organisation I work for and look at some international case studies and whatnot. And I thoroughly enjoyed that and what that can bring out. And then trying to help my staff understand, it's okay to ask questions, be respectful about it, but it's okay to ask questions, because if people don't keep asking and keep looking at better ways of doing business, we don't get any better.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because we've always done something that way doesn't mean it has to stay that way. And my dog handling is no different too, you know. It's that's me, mate. I don't know what comes next. Right now, it's a balance I'm enjoying with being a dad again. I'm, you know, again, that didn't come out right either. I mean, I'm loving doing what I'm doing. You know, so this afternoon I'm racing home, taking my young bloke to rugby training.
Yep.
Rugby game tomorrow. Great bunch of parents. Rugby training on Friday night with a couple of beers, all the kids still kicking a footy around afterwards. You know, getting back to things I'm able to do for age, because I've always been on call.
Yeah.
That, and then followed by, you know, by the time you guys are publishing this, and netball. So between my kids' sport and whatnot, and again, my wife's in the same line of work. She's in a position at the moment where she's back on shift work as a senior supervisor in a different role. At her rank, which is still higher than mine again, she had been in the, you know, in a role that wasn't as much shift work based for quite some time, so the role's been reversed, and I'm enjoying giving her a break for a change. The number of times that she was left hanging because I had to race out the door because something had happened over the years is, I'm still in debt for a long time to come on that sort of thing. So I'm enjoying the roles being flipped. I'm enjoying being the guys making lunches at night and stuff like that. There's still a balance, and my wife still outsmarts me and does that more often than I do too. But mate, just stuff I never did. I was never contributing as much at home as I should have been.
Yep.
You know, domestic chores and whatnot. So I'm just enjoying that. Kids sport, biggest thing. Taking them, you know, dream world, whatever it might be, doing that stuff that dad can't do that today because he's on call. I've got no doubt I'm going to end up in a role or two, come down the track, or end up on call. When I've relieved in high duty positions over the last 6 months, I'm back in periods of on call, and it's not that it brings you anxiety, but it does click in with crap. We can't leave home. I've got to be within QE of the car, or I've got to double check someone can cover me for an hour if we are going to duck off and do something else, and the responsibility that comes with it. So, mate, right now I'm enjoying being the officer in charge of a station. It's a Monday to Friday. I love to say it's an 8-hour a day gig. It's not. You know, some days are 14 and other days a bit lighter on, depending on what's happening with staff injuries and bits and pieces going on.
Mm.
It's the challenge at the moment that works for me. But yeah, mate, you walk in my office. When I left, the boys I was working with did up a lovely plaque with a big photo of both dogs with me in it, both their ID cards. I don't know if you guys are the same, but Q-Pol does up an ID card for each dog.
Yep.
Both their formal parade collars with their dogs called medals, and then both their working dog association medals on the bottom.
Awesome.
And when the boys did that up, and you see the size of it, and it would have cost them a lot between the few of them to chip in for that.
Yep.
It's front center. You walk them off and you don't miss it. A number of people walk them off and stop and stare at it. Detracts away from usually what I need to talk to them. No, mate, very proud of my time there. Very proud to say I was a dog handler within Q-Pol and loved it. Mate, between my body and whatnot is probably, you know, and family life, I'd love to stay and keep doing it, but 100%. I love seeing the new faces come through. I love seeing, hearing about new handlers coming through and have a great time. And I definitely didn't want to be that guy still trying to do it with my body and my mind and said no more.
Yeah.
It's great to see others come through.
Yeah, awesome. All right. Ben Mack, Man Mountain, ex-doggy, still doing the job. Thanks for coming on. 004 Vertus House Kennels.
Thanks for having me,
very much, mate.